I desire to give you a word on some glories of Christ as they come before us in the Roman Epistle. And I ask you to read Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and verses 3 and 4, chapter 5, verse 11, chapter 8, verse 29. We might say, first of all, that the gospel, as presented in Romans, is concerning his Son. Why? The height of our blessing is set out in chapter 8, where those led of the Spirit are said to be sons of God. So too, we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Also, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The purpose of God is that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. We can only learn the blessing of sonship as we appreciate the relationship and glory in which our Lord Jesus Christ in abiding manhood subsists before God. We must remember, while speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ as subsisting now in glory in abiding manhood in the relationship of Son of God, that his sonship did not commence with his incarnation. Scripture teaches us the incarnation of the Son, not sonship by incarnation. He brought into manhood that relationship in which he had eternally subsisted. There were relationships with the affections proper to them in the Godhead before time began, and which shall continue when time has ceased to be. Those relationships and affections are eternal. I might say, by the way, that the scripture which has helped to confirm me in the truth of the eternal sonship of our Lord Jesus is John 17, verse 24. Father, thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. This is the love of the Father for the Son. He speaks of that love being set on him before the world was brought into being. It seems almost unnecessary to have to say that we cannot have the love of relationship without the relationship. A vast range of things having to do with the mediatorial glories of the Lord Jesus Christ comes before us in this epistle. As mediator, he is the one who came out from God to speak and act for God, and who went into God to act and speak for man, representatively. All his official glories are related to him as the mediator, and the glory of his person lies behind every office which he fills. He must be God to act for God, and he must be man to act for men, in such a way that God should be glorified in having men before himself in blessing. He is God and he is man. Christ, who is over all God, blessed forever. His mediatorial work is what it is because of who he is. Hence the gospel is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus speaks of his lowly grace in incarnation, the charm of his manhood. Let us ever remember that precious name was given to him as the one who would save his people from their sins. Surely, this verse we have quoted from Matthew chapter 1 confirms that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. He is the Christ, the anointed man. To him is committed the work of establishing every thought of God for his own glory. His purpose and his counsel, his promises, all shall be established by and in the man of his pleasure. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. The blessing of the creation, Israel, the nations, the assembly in this present day, heaven and earth shall be brought to pass by him. He is our Lord. This is not the lip service of mere profession. It is the glad acknowledgement of those whose hearts have been won by the gospel. In the Acts, Peter preached to Israel that God had made that same Jesus whom they had crucified both Lord and Christ. In the house of Cornelius the Gentile, he announced Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Thus there is the administration by him of the blessing of God to the Jew first and also to the nations. The individual comes into the blessing by confessing the Lord Jesus, believing in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He finds then that the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The day is coming when heaven, earth, and hell shall own his lordship. That will be the day of his manifested power and glory, as drawn by mercy, while our Lord is now rejected, and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned, we confess in glad unison with the whole company of the redeemed, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In chapter 3 of Romans, God has made righteousness available for men, but it is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. Such is the greatness of his finished work, that the justifying grace of God addresses itself to all mankind. But it is only upon all them that believe. God is just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The grace of God can righteously justify the sinner. Those who believe stand before God upon an unassailable foundation, being justified freely through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God looks upon us as in a flawless position. We too are perfectly at home before him. The righteousness of God now holds no terror for us, because as he is, so are we in this world. We see the blessedness of our position in our glorified Saviour, Christ Jesus. God has bought us by Christ's precious blood to set us free from the judgment which our sins assuredly deserved, and to have us before himself for his pleasure and our lasting blessing. This flawless position is the believer's forever, for Christ has obtained through his death at Calvary an eternal redemption. He is thus the mercy seat, the meeting place for God and man. For God, because all the claims of the throne have been met by the blood of the crucified one. For man, because he's taken our liabilities upon himself and has given to God a full satisfaction for them all. God has been propitiated, and he, Christ, is our substitute. As to the mercy seat, God had said to Moses, "There I will meet with thee." Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. This was in the most holy place in the tabernacle. So now, in grace, the holiest of all is open to us who trust in Christ's redeeming blood. May we know what it is, as forgiven and redeemed, to meet God there in full response as purged worshippers. In chapter 4, the power of God is prominent, as the righteousness of God is the theme of chapter 3. That power has been witnessed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been delivered for our offenses, and the power of God has reached out to him in the depths of death as the sin-bearer, and lifted him out in glorious resurrection for our justification. We are as clear now from our offences as he, once the sin-bearer at Calvary, is in resurrection. Behind the righteousness and the power of God is the love of God. The cross of Christ, as in Romans 5, is at once the witness of the righteousness and the love of God. For while God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which he has given to us, our enjoyment of the love of God is not the measure of it. No, Christ's death is the measure of the love of God. And so we read, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The cross is the lesson book of the love of God. In the appreciation of the blessing and favor of God, we may well joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the great administrator of the bounty of God. Through him, we have received the reconciliation. Where distance was, nearness is. His place is the measure of that place which is ours, as the fruit of his finished work. So nigh, so very nigh to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. Adam, the fallen head of a fallen race, bequeathed to all his posterity sin, death, and condemnation as the fruit of his one act of disobedience in Eden. Christ's coming into the world was no afterthought with God. Indeed, Adam, as the racial head, is described as the figure of him that was to come. And he, blessed be his name, has fully met all that Adam brought in by his fall. God has been glorified, and now, as risen from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ has displaced that first and fallen head. He is the head of a new race. His headship is viewed in this racial way in Romans chapter 5, verses 15, 16, 17, and 19. Verse 18 gives a more extended view of his headship. It is in keeping with 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. There we read, "The head of every man is Christ." All the blessing of the grace of God is available for all men, but it is only available to them in Christ. As under fallen Adam's headship, men have been reigned over by sin in the power of death, so now, under the headship of the risen Christ, the members of Christ's race will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He has, as Romans 6 teaches, broken for us the mastery of sin. He has borne the condemnation and curse of a broken law. Hence we are free from the law. Happy condition. Romans 5, we have a new head. Romans 6, a new master. Romans 7, a new husband. We have reached in our souls the truth and power of deliverance when, having exclaimed, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We burst into thanksgiving, saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 8 we learn, amongst many blessed truths, there is no condemnation, no accusation, and no separation. And the apostle ranges through the realm of the opposition which confronts the saint of God, and in case he's missed any opponent, he concludes in verse 39, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are in Christ, where the love of God is, and where there's nothing to condemn. In this wonderful chapter, which gives us, that is chapter 8, the doctrinal climax of the epistle, he declares the purpose of God. And that purpose is not only to bring us to glory, but God has marked us out to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is well deserving of the place that has been destined for him, that he should be surrounded by the many brethren for his own glory. And this shall consummate our blessing. May the Lord bless this simple presentation of himself and give us to grow in appreciation of him while we await his return to bring us to the glory. Not we alone, thy loved ones, all complete in glory, round thee there with joy shall meet. All like thee, for thy glory, like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored. Amen.